Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, how to escalate, part one. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What are the effective ways to escalate a problem? What are the misconceptions about escalation? And oh boy, are there a lot. And how can I escalate to get results? If you want answers to these questions and more, as Mike normally says, keep listening. Folks, some of you have been writing to me lately telling me how much you're going to miss daily Things I Think I Think. Well, Things I Think I Think is still continuing, but it's only going to those folks who are licensees. And it will be go back to weekly on Wednesdays, as it was up until March of the year that will not be named with a number, in order to take care of our licensees, which is the core part of our community. If you're a listener, if you're a longtime listener, whether you've been to a conference or not, having a license is a way to be a part of the community. It's also a way to get access to the interviewing series and effective relationships and the resume workbook. And I might say access to me, which go figure, some people think that's important. So I encourage you, become a licensee. It's $200 a year. And we promise you, as all the case with all of our products, you're going to get more than you pay for. Okay, Kate, we don't get to record that often. Mike is exceptionally busy this week, financial stuff, I think. And so you agreed to fill in for me. I'm filling in for Mike, and we're just going to bat this around a little bit. Mm-hmm. I have been thinking about writing this cast for a couple of years, maybe about 5 years now. And as casts often go, I typically make some notes in the margins of things, transfer them over to a piece of software I have that allows me to kind of organize my thoughts. And I finally got to the point where I said to myself, when I get the 50th email where somebody was saying, okay, how do I escalate to this person's boss? My head will explode and I will finish writing the cast, which explains you're all wrong, people. You completely misunderstand escalation. Some people think escalation is what you do when things get tough. That's not right. Something gets what you do when things go wrong. That's not right. And escalation is a necessary tool. It's an effective tool. But we've turned it into this political football. It's just stupid. And unfortunately, people don't know what escalation is. And they don't know how to do it. So why don't you walk us through the outline and then we'll walk our way through this whole thing.
Yeah. Escalation is about effectiveness, not the org chart.
Yeah. Big
first,
one there.
Yeah. First, escalate with time. Second, escalate with communication. And escalate with role power only if you must, only as the last resort.
I hope people are hearing that and are realizing, wait, escalation is about role power. No, it's not. It's really not. That's the only part you learned. And that's why you think of escalation as a big issue, a red flag, a problem. It's not.
Yeah. And I think what we're going to cover today will give you some tools that will be effective in terms of getting what you need. And at the same time, won't feel like escalation. It won't feel like political maneuvering or anything like that, right?
Exactly. It's not. It's not political. It's, hey, I'm constantly, escalation is the principle that you are constantly assessing where a given set of work tasks is based on your understanding of where things need to be at a certain time. Usually there's a deliverable, a deadline, or whatever. And assessing the relative risk compared to a day or a week ago and determining whether or not something needs to be done differently. You know, it's almost like if you take a slinky, I don't know, Kate, do younger people know what slinkies are?
Yeah, actually, I just saw a slinky the other day.
Okay. So those little curly things, the toys that if you put them on stairs, they flip over themselves and go down the stairs. Imagine spreading a slinky out 10 feet long and then taking a spot in the middle and sliding it way to the right, let's say. Okay, so now to the left of where you've grabbed it is stretched out, it's in tension. The stuff on the right is kind of crunched up, it's sort of soft, it's easy, it's happy, right? It's not under tension, okay? Imagine your project going from left to right. You're supposed to be in the middle, but you've only gotten the first few things done. In other words, there's more risk in the left, in the left-hand side, the I probably have the timeline going wrong here, but the future, if time is going from right to left, the future is more at risk. There's more tension there. You're supposed to be thinking about that. And not just the project manager, everybody is. Now look, if you're on a billion-dollar project, guys, fine. You can't possibly mentally collate the $64,000 tasks that have to happen every week for the Hoover Dam to be built. Okay, but most of us aren't building the dang Hoover Dam.
Right.
People don't think that. They just think escalation is, I'm going to tell your boss on you. I'm telling. I've got some ice cream. You don't have some ice cream. I mean, it's unbelievable. So
yeah,
I've always hated the term escalation because I would see people use it wrongly. I'm going to go over your head kind of thing. And it's got this power thing, right? It's got this feeling that it's power politics, and I'm going to tell your boss. And so not only do you know that when you're thinking, hey, maybe we need to get do something different here, but everybody else thinks that, and then you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. When you escalate, you don't want to put anybody in trouble, but if all you know escalation is telling somebody's boss that they didn't do what they said they were going to do, particularly if it's you that would be inheriting the task that you need to do, and so you're complaining that you can't do your work, it's just like a soup of awfulness.
Yeah. We're not hoping to create an issue, and yet somehow.
We're creating an issue. Oh, believe me.
Well, it's almost like I've tried to alleviate this issue by creating a new one.
Yes. A worse one too, by the way.
Yeah. With more people involved, because that's going to be helpful.
More, and more power. And now our bosses can get into a bossing contest.
Yeah. We're going to focus on escalating right, not up.
Right. Exactly. Look, let's do a simple thought experiment here, guys. By the way, I don't want to say, when I say you're wrong that escalation is not about rule power, telling somebody's boss is escalation, but it's not the only escalation. That's the point I'm making. And I think if you tell me that the United States ends at the Mississippi River, I can say you're wrong. And you'd say, well, technically, a third of it does end at the Mississippi River. I'm like, yeah, okay, true. But you're describing one part of escalation, and you're saying the part is the whole, and the part is not the whole. Escalation is more than that. Mm-hmm. So let's do a simple thought experiment. It's 3 hours before a deadline, and I'm worried because your task isn't done. Now, look, you do something different than me, so I can't do the task. And to some degree, I don't even understand it. Boy, that's the story of my life. Okay. Hey, May Maverick, do that pilot stuff you do, right? Okay, let's make it even easier. I'm a marketing guy. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. And you're the guy, gal in this case. I need to code the ability to put a marketing violator on our website. You guys, you could look up marketing violator or just look up violator on a website. Okay. If you've ever seen 25% off stickers in the corner of a box where the sticker essentially invades the box and it's not really part of the standard box, that's a violator, okay? The sale, the sign that says sold that gets slapped on the front of a realtor's for sale sign, that sold sign that's put at an angle and says sold in red, that's a violator as well. Okay, I want to put a violator on the website. I'm the marketing guy that has responsibility for the website. I can't do that. I need to rely on you. And let's further pretend that I don't know the difference between Java and JavaScript.
That's
which
a
I remember years.
Super stretch, right?
Well, what's funny is, what's funny is 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever it was, I discovered that they're not closely related, which I find annoying, but nevertheless. Now, I seem to remember that you said in our project planning sessions that you needed to know a day or two before your deadline, before your task was due, that we had worked out the requirements for the violator and communicate them to you, right? So you needed a day. And I know I met my deadline to you. You had the requirements 24 hours in advance.
Right.
But 21 hours, not 24, but 21 hours have passed and I don't have any code. I don't have any comms.
Ooh,
I
get you're starting nothing. To sweat.
I generally don't sweat. I just...
Yeah, but
start
you're a
plotting.
Marketing
I
guy, and that's a thought scenario.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know. What would I? Yeah, I might be stomping around my office. No, I'm kidding. Exactly. Okay. In my mind, it's completely appropriate time to escalate, right? These are critical path tasks. You needed a day. The day's almost gone.
Right. But you don't know that while a day is reasonable in terms of the ask, it only—
Of course, I don't know.
Right. You have no idea. If you said,
I need 6 months, I'd be like, okay.
Sure.
Sure. Whatever and you say.
So you're not aware that I asked for a day based on my experience, and it only actually takes me 30 minutes to code the violator.
I have no clue. Yeah. No.
I don't really need a whole day. I asked for it because I've done it before, and marketing people are notorious for skimping on the detailed requirements. And
No, we're not. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
So I think it's best to get a peek at it by the deadline and see if it satisfies. See if everything I need is there.
Right.
If it does, great. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then I've got some hours to quiz you on all the stuff that should have been in there.
Yeah.
And we're
even a koala bear would have known to put that stuff in there. But I'm a marketing guy. What do I know? JavaScript. Whatever.
So, in this case, you did a good job for a marketing guy. The requirements were solid.
Gold star.
One thumb up.
Yeah.
And in the next hour, we're down to 21 hours, right, that have passed. So in the next hour, I'm going to spend 30 minutes writing the HTML, the CSS code, and I'll meet my deadline. And hey, I've won.
Yeah. Right? Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great.
But remember, I don't know that.
Yeah.
And I don't know you well. Why would I? But I'm right. I mean, you're a tech person, whereas I'm a marketing guy. So I don't feel comfortable asking.
And your feelings are important.
Just the idea that someone's comfort level is a primary function of an organization today is monumentally bizarre, ludicrous, stupid. But it's real. People do this. They justify themselves and say, I don't know you well, so I'm not going to feel comfortable asking. I don't want you to think that I'm micromanaging you. All these people tell me I'm micromanaging.
Yeah, so ruin my day instead.
I do what I know I've heard thousands of other people do, which must therefore be a completely reasonable, totally appropriate organizational process. I escalate.
Sure.
I send email because, you know, email is like the ultimate form of communication. And by the way, there are 30% of the people who heard that line, email is the ultimate form of communication, said, is he joking? Is it not? Because I'm pretty sure it is. Like, just for the record, guys, no, it's not. But anyway, so I send an email to your boss and look, to my boss too. And by the way, the project coordinator, project manager, and yes, you, I might actually send a mail to the top three guys and copy you, which would just be really, really bad form.
Yeah.
And I let everyone know I have a concern regarding our impending deadline.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
So what do you do?
I respond icily. Before those—
But how? What form? Do you call me?
Oh, of course, via email.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Code is king. Well,
you know,
or queen. Well,
not just that. It's like, I don't want to actually get in the trenches. We're just going to lob cannonballs at each other from over no man's land. We don't want to die. We just want to be artillery. Good. All right. Good.
So I send an email. It's frigid before our bosses can respond.
Right.
And the code is attached. And I've included a note that says that it's done. It's in the agreed upon code repository. And I even say, by the way, this is an unnecessary escalation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look, now I've embarrassed myself in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, you've embarrassed yourself because it took you 22 hours to do something that clearly was not that hard. You could have done it sooner.
Sure.
And this totally, when I see things like this, it reminds me of Barbara Tuchman, who, by the way, this is an incorrect transcription of what she actually said. War is the unfolding of miscalculations. What she actually said was history is the unfolding of miscalculations, but history is the history of war, so therefore, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, let's do this the right way. Now, by the way, guys, neither Kate nor I had any ill intent. We were doing what made sense, reasonable, professional. Find fault with either one of us. Feel free to write us. Actually, write Kate.
They don't have my email.
I'm kidding. Yeah. My email, if you want to email me, guys, is mahorstman, that's H-O-R-S-T-M-A-N, at manager-tools.com. Feel free. I got 186 emails in response to things I think the other day.
It's awesome. It's been, you have been on fire on things. You have just been on fire.
It's awesome. Luckily, they're all nice. It's good.
Good.
Anyway, okay. So now let's go back and replay this whole thing.
Right.
First, when the requirements met with your approval, you could have sent a note saying something like, right, the moment you saw them, I met my deadline to you. You could have sent a note and said, next deliverable will be met.
Right.
You could have even say, hey, this is only going to take me half an hour. I've got it slotted. We will meet the next deadline.
Right.
To me, this is where I think people miss. There is this belief that the deadline drives behavior in the sense that it has to be done before the deadline. And so deadlines end up being this frothy part of every project. What we ought to be doing is, I'm not against meeting deadlines. I'm in favor of exceeding them. But there can be communication about the moment of status that happens when someone says, I'm going to meet this deadline. Aha. So then it may not be a bad idea for me to take some steps on my next thing, because it looks as if that I don't need to wait for that thing to be done because I know it will be done.
Mm-hmm.
This is all knowledge about project status is part and parcel of escalation. But everyone thinks of escalation as a hammer. It's not. It's not. It's a telescope.
Right.
It's not a hammer. It's a telescope.
There's 10 things you could do between
the task
and going over my head. And instead, we ignore all those things. It's like we've decided to jump off the cliff when we could have just walked gently down the side.
Yeah, there's stairs right over there.
Yeah.
No, it's faster.
Don't feel like it. Just neck breaking.
Yeah.
So I could have sent you a note that says the next deliverable will be met. And if I didn't, you could have said, anything else you need? Or, you know, are we good for meeting the deliverable? Because you don't know if I've seen your email, right? You have no insight into what's going on at my desk.
Yeah.
Both of these options in terms of communication, you asking me a question, me telling you anything, would have been a form of escalation.
To me, this is one of the 10 most important things said in this cast. And I promise you, if people are listening close right now, they're back. I didn't hear that. I'm going to go back. Mark wasn't talking. I'm going to go back now. I'm going to listen to what he said. And they're going to go, what? You just said that those two emails were escalations? Yes, people. Those were escalations.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to be clear about this. Communicating about status of deliverables, about the risk associated with the project, an increased risk or a decreased risk. Now, you think about escalation. Those things are escalations. You're wrong to think escalation is only involving role power. That is, role power is involved because you're talking about increased risk to the project. So are we. Actually, we're talking about the other thing, which is decreased risk to the project and increased value potentially to the project, because we're still going to be on time. And we're still going to be in scope, but we're still in budget, we're still in scope, but we're going to be early. And actually, if you get too much early, the budget, you're going to be under budget as well.
Yeah.
People don't get this. They don't understand that these kinds of communications are escalations. In fact, they can't even believe it because they think, no, because escalation is only negative and harsh and sensitive.
Yeah.
It's not. These are good things to do. They're good project team member things to do, and people don't do them. It's like, no, I'm going to throw it over the transom. Kate will do it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's as if someone said to you, transportation, and you decided that was a Ferrari, when in fact it could be
and
a
only
bicycle,
a Ferrari. Yeah,
or
it could be
walking, or a motorbike. Yeah. It could be 700
look,
things.
Let me also say this. We're saying this tongue in cheek, guys. We don't mean you're I suppose we're all at fault for what we don't know, but nobody taught you this, right? That we tell managers all the time this, you know, forgive yourself. Learn the act of forgiveness, the emotional maturity associated with forgiveness. Because you know what? Somebody puts you in a big organization. Somebody gives you projects to manage or projects to be a part of. And they don't teach you stuff like this. I mean, there ought to be a professional quasi-criminal court. You're guilty. Failure to train your people. You sent him into a project meeting and you didn't give him the budget.
Yeah.
You know, spend 4 hours, I don't know, at some training delivered by HR on culture.
In a break room where someone's microwave salmon. Yes,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so don't, guys, we're not making fun of you. We're saying to you, nobody's ever taught you this stuff. We want to teach you this stuff. We want you to have A-level skills, not D-level skills. Mm-hmm. And you've been taught D-level skills and with no ill intent. Your boss doesn't know either, probably, that what we're talking about is escalation. But it is escalation.
Mm-hmm. Without political peril, right? If you do it this way.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, it's the opposite of peril.
Yeah.
It's political plus.
Yeah, people think you're reasonable. They think you're, you know, when people do it this way, people think, oh man, you know, they're kind. Because if you ask, do you need anything else? Or there's all kinds of ways to do this and be the good guy, honestly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, as opposed to the bad guy. Yeah, because escalation makes you the bad guy. And in fact, everybody who escalates under the old definition that we're debunking now thinks, I got to make sure because I know I get bad guy status the moment I do this. So I got to double check a little bit, but I'll do it. What's funny is the double check doesn't include asking the guy or gal who was doing the task.
Yeah.
Hey, you got some risk over there? Or better yet, you ask if there's going to be risk. You ask in email. This is one of my favorites. And you don't hear back for an hour, and you assume that means there's risk because they must be working on an hours and hours and hours long thing. And if it was mostly done, they'd be able to check email. No, you don't. We only check email 3 times a day, or I don't think of email as being all that important.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to be clear here too. If you're the person, for example, me in this scenario, where you're the developer who gets their feelings hurt, gets a little bent out of shape when you're asked, hey, are you going to make your deliverable? That's on you, buddy.
Yeah, totally on you.
That's all you. It's a completely reasonable thing to ask.
That's an escalation without role power involved. Mm-hmm. And you are obligated not only to do your work, but also to communicate about your work. Even when, in fact, there are known processes for communicating about your work. You need to remember, it's a reasonable ask. You need to remember your work does not happen in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Project risk assessments, what we're talking about relative to escalation, which is in that pool of stuff, they happen all the time. And you owe comms to your colleagues about your work relative to the risk to the project. So this isn't micromanagement. It's management. I'm going to spend my whole life saying that. When I'm retired, somebody's going to say to me, they're going to meet me and they're going to say, yeah, you're the micromanagement guy. No,
not so much.
Not so much. You don't know what, I'm sorry. You don't know what you're talking about. Really, honestly.
Those words don't mean what you think.
Yeah, they mean. That's right. Exactly. I don't think that word means inconceivable. Yes, exactly. Folks, it probably sounds crazy here in January of 2021, but the fact is we are available to go on site for clients. And in fact, we have a client coming up next month that we are going to because the client needs the training and they've figured out how to meet all the appropriate requirements for health and safety of their workers and for us as well. Obviously, it may not quite be the time yet, but if you're an individual listener, if you're a manager and you've been thinking, I got to spread this around, have us start talking to your HR or to your VP or to your director, and we'll talk to you about what we can do and how we can do it. We'll treat you fairly and the work will be world-class. So that's the first part, guys. We made our case that escalation is not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. It's not what you thought it was. And now we're going to give you the two biggest tools first. And then we're going to talk about the third one, which is, of course, power, role power.
Mm-hmm.
So escalate with time. You start us off this time.
All right. And a context note here before we get into effective ways to escalate.
Yeah.
This guidance that we're discussing is meant for the vast majority of managers and individual contributors who are in what we'll call, for lack of a better word, normal roles. This is not for you if you're a project management professional or someone overseeing a $1 billion project for a PMO or a headquarters unit. We've looked escalation schemes and interviewed people and looked at models, and everything in the project management world is super complex.
Yeah.
And essentially—
No, but let's be clear. We don't mean that they're making things complex.
Oh, no.
We mean for the average manager, it's overkill.
Exactly.
It's like saying to someone, hey, look, I need to figure out my mortgage. And he says, well, we'll need to go back and review your calculus. No, I mean, actually, calculus is involved in mortgages to some degree, but not for the regular person. I just want to know how much I owe next month.
Right. If you have one tax form, this is your setting, right? If you have six tax forms, you need a different guy.
And I will tell you, in the last 50 years, large organizations, in large part thanks to computational power and laptops and desktops and servers and so on, there has been an increase in specialization. The same thing's true in the medical field, by the way, in part because of computational power indirectly. We have 50 years ago, there were not project management professionals. There were managers. And every once in a while, you had to run a project. And you stopped doing your management job or you had an additional duty. And now we have this cadre of people, super smart. I am very impressed by what they know and how precisely they can manage projects and identify when things are going off the rails and so on. Mm-hmm. But that's a small coterie of, 2% of the managerial population? Mm-hmm. This guidance is for the other 98%.
Yeah.
If you're a PMP, this is probably not great guidance for you. Although I'd be willing to bet there are some PMPs who are listening. And folks, if you don't know, PMP stands for Project Manager Professional, and it's a certification done by the Project Management Institute. And we highly recommend the Project Management Institute. It's well done. But I suspect, I'd be willing to bet, you could disagree if you want, Kate, but my guess is that there are PMPs listening right now that think escalation is only rule power.
I can see that. And I think that's a different world, right? There's a different set of criteria there. And we're not saying that escalation is only for work in projects. In fact, it's not. It's for all work.
Right.
Anytime there's risk of delay or error, it's just that we're finding more and more, and kind of forever we've been finding this, I think, that escalation as a concept really captures professionals' attention around projects, but it can be useful in all work outside of projects. So you don't have to be a PMP to listen to this.
So
today.
Again, you don't, exactly. But I'd love to hear from PMPs and they can tell me how crazy I am. Although I will tell you that there are many PMPs in the world who think Horstmann's law of project management, who does what by when, is the ultimate rule about projects, as opposed to PERT charts and Gantt charts and the whole thing, which, by the way, I think PERT charts and Gantt charts are cool. I think they're kind of bitching. I mean, I really like critical path method. If I had a $500 million project, if you were running a $500 million project for me, Kate, I'd be like, show me the path, show me the Gantt chart, show me all the resource things, because otherwise, the money and the time spent out of control.
Absolutely.
So again, the point here is most executives, most managers don't need the power and complexity of the project management world's escalation tools and models and methods. Mm-hmm. So therefore, this is for just regular folks. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's not just for projects. It's for all, if I'm doing something and I got to turn it over to you before you can do something for a particular client, for those of you who don't know, Kate manages our client business, I can check with you about how much your level of effort in day-to-day workload has changed. Mm-hmm. Since hey, by the way, I could potentially get this to you 2 days earlier. I'd have to make some changes. I could. Is it more valuable to you 2 days earlier? If you said to me, no, dude, I'm presenting twice a day for the next 4 days. I'm not going to look at anything until I know the clock is ticking against me, which is fine with me. that will still mean the project will be on time. Mm-hmm. So that gives me a chance to re-look. Okay, I don't need to do this early. I could have done it early. There's relative value of doing this early or that early, but
yeah.
Okay. Can I mention one other thing?
Of course.
I do recommend folks listen to Horstman's Law of Project Management, which, if you don't know, is a podcast, and it's in our Hall of Fame. It's one of our most popular casts. And most of what you can find on the internet about project management is expensive and is for project managers, people who manage complex projects, people who work in PMOs, program management offices, which will be the death of IT. But anyway, if you ever heard us say who does what by when, that's Horstman's Law of Project Management. You can make it as complex as you want. You can have all the charts in the world, and you can have pretty software and things that change color, which we do, by the way, and we love that stuff.
Yeah.
The fact is, who owns the task? Is the task a deliverable, meaning it has to be delivered? What do they have to do? And when does it have to be done by? If you manage all that, you can almost build the Hoover Dam without software. And so Horstman's Law of Project Management is where we codified that guidance. And we have more casts on projects too. Mm-hmm. PERT charts, critical path method, mid to high level use of Microsoft Project, Monday.com, Smartsheet, Gantt Pro, all of that is probably more than most of you need. Some of you will need it. Good. Well done. It's good stuff. I enjoy it. I really like it. I like being able to see the project, mm-hmm. but I can't often justify it. At least in my life, I can't find myself justifying that. Even when we use spreadsheets to show all the tasks and dependencies, I'm like, no, for me, maybe I'm just a high D, high I. And I don't care about the details. I just want to know, is it done? Does it meet spec? And how much money did we spend?
Yeah.
Those kind of things. That's it, folks. How to Escalate Part 1. Come back next week for Part 2. I'm sure it'll be interesting. See you then.